Radio. We have the cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your black heads, grab some borax, and enjoy this episode of Escape, entitled Lining and Versus the Ants.
Isolated on a remote plantation in the calling Amazon jungle, and an immense army of ravenous ants is closing in on you, swarming in to eat you alive, a deadly black army from which there is no escape.
We offer you Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Tonight, we escape to the Amazon jungle and to a creeping, crawling terror, as Carl Stevenson told it in his famous story, Leiningen versus the Ants.
I first met Leiningen while performing my duties as district commissioner. As my boat neared his plantation landing, I saw him upon the riverbank, regarding me with mild interest. A great hulk of a man with bristling gray hair, bulky nose, and pale eyes. His entire appearance somehow suggested an aging and shabby eagle. He escorted me to the terrace and had a drink brought. I came quickly to the point of my visit and issued my warning. Leiningen puffed placidly at a huge cigar as he listened, and then said,
"Exactly what are you trying to tell me?"
"I'm trying to tell you that unless they alter their course, and there's no reason why they should, they'll reach your plantation in 2 days at the latest."
"Well, Commissioner, it was decent of you paddling all this way just to give me the tip."
"But tip?
You're pulling my leg, of course, when you say I've got to get out."
"Now look, I assure you I'm not..."
"Commissioner, even a herd of crocodiles couldn't drive me from this plantation of mine."
"Oh, you don't understand. These aren't creatures you can fight. They're an elemental force, a gigantic catastrophe. 10 miles long, 2 miles wide. Ants, nothing but ants. Each one as big as your thumb, and each of them a fiend from hell. Unless you clear out at once, there'll be nothing left of you but a skeleton, picked as clean as your own plantation will be."
"I'm not going to run for it, Commissioner, just because trouble's on the way."
"But it isn't trouble, it's..."
"And don't think I'm the kind of fathead who tries to beat off lightning with my fists, either. I've got a better weapon, Commissioner. Intelligence. With me, the brain isn't just a second appendix. I know what it's there for."
"Can't I make you understand the hideousness
of..." "I think it is you who do not understand. In the 3 years I've been here, I've met and defeated more than one catastrophe. Flood and drought, a plague. Events which caused many of my neighbors to flee for their lives. No, Commissioner, all my life I've lived by one motto. The human brain needs only to become fully aware of its power to conquer even the elements."
"Leiningen, your obstinacy is endangering not only your own life, but the lives of your 400 workers and their families. You don't know these ants. I tell you, you don't know these ants."
But Leiningen merely sat there, puffing at his cigar and regarding me with a sardonic grin. And I knew it was hopeless.
As I boarded my launch and cast off, I turned to look once more at this man who calmly intended to defy one of the world's greatest scourges. Felt a sudden resentment toward him, and yet with it was something else. I had never met a man like that, and I couldn't help wondering what combination of elements made up such a creature.
I stood on the bank of the river watching the commissioner's launch until it rounded a bend and was lost to sight. There was a strange look in the commissioner's eyes as he stood on deck staring back at me. Clearly, he thought me, the very least unreasonable. Well, he wouldn't have been the first to think so. But I, Leiningen, knew my own powers. I was sure of myself. I knew that intelligence directed right always makes man the master of his fate. That night I called my Indian workers together in front of the plantation house. I saw their faces go ashen with terror as I told them the ants were coming. Watched them as they milled around, muttering. I said nothing more to them. Finally, one of the men stepped forward, Blast, the foreman.
"Patron, We have worked hard here for these 3 years, all of us. We have built the finest plantation in this district. We all share in it. It has been a home for all of us and our families. Now the ants come.
So?
Those ditches we dug last year, the pipe we put in the ground, that was for the ants?
That was for the ants.
If we moved our families across the river, the ants could not reach them.
That's right. And you?
The ants are mighty. We know what they can do. All of us think that you are mighty.
Hey, here, you better
run. We will stay and fight against the ants with you.
I knew the men would give me that answer. I'd counted on it. Suddenly, I thought of the commissioner and wondered what he'd say at such unquestioning confidence. Would he still think I was unreasonable?
All that night, I could not get Leinenshin out of my mind. One man who calmly evaluated his chances against a deadly menace, coolly decided that he could win, and was willing to stake his life on it, to risk a horrible death for it. It was terrifying, and yet it was fascinating. When dawn came, I sent for my assistant. Together we went to the huge map of the district which hung from the wall of my office.
The last reported position of the ants came in last night. They were, here, about 70 miles above this fork in the river.
Traveling southeast?
Yes, sir.
Directly toward Leiningen.
Toward whom, sir?
Oh, that plantation at the bend in the river. Belongs to a man named Leiningen.
Oh.
When would you say the ants will reach there?
Why, I don't know, sir. I imagine about tomorrow noon.
Tomorrow noon. Still time.
Still time? What do you mean, sir?
Oh, nothing. Never mind. What did I mean? Still time for what? A Leiningen to flee, or still time for me to... Even as I rejected the thought with horror, I knew that the fascination of that man was more than I could resist. That Leiningen's fight was drawing my mind, drawing me back toward that plantation and death. I knew, past all doubt, that I was going back to Leiningen's plantation. I had to. In the morning when I rounded the bend and saw Leiningen's plantation before me. I put in at the dock and tied up the launch, and then I saw him standing on the bank above me. Arms folded, stubby cigar in his mouth, and that same sardonic grin on his face. I made my way up to him.
Back for another warning, Commissioner?
No.
Oh, back to stay a while?
Yes. You don't seem very surprised.
I'm not.
You expected me?
I knew you'd be back. Come along, we'll get some horses. You'll want to ride around the plantation and take a look at the defenses I've rigged up.
Yes, I want to see the defenses.
And the ants. We'll be getting a glimpse of them before long, I should think.
Yes, and the ants.
Come along, then.
The defenses Leiningen had devised were quite impressive. Surrounding three sides of the plantation like a huge horseshoe with a ditch 12 feet wide. The ends of this horseshoe-shaped ditch ran into the river, which formed the fourth side of the plantation. And at the upriver entrance to the ditch, Leiningen had constructed a dam by which river water could be diverted into the ditch. A large hand wheel controlled the floodgate of the dam, and apparently Leiningen had ordered it opened immediately after my arrival. For as we now approached the ditch and rode along it, I could see that it was nearly full.
Well, how do you like my first line of defense, Commissioner?
Well, it's reassuring, like a moat around a castle.
Unless the ants know how to build rafts, they won't reach the plantation. But this is only the outer moat. There's a better one than this. Come along. We'll go up to the high ground where the buildings are. We can get a view from there.
Leiningen,
huh?
I didn't see any women or children around the plantation, or any animals.
That's right. Move them across the river.
Oh. And you think there is danger?
Oh, not because of danger, Commissioner. A matter of efficiency.
Efficiency?
Cuts down the efficiency of the men if they're worried about their families. Critical situations only become crises when oxen or women get excited.
I might have known.
Eh?
Nothing.
Here we are.
See the ditch? Much smaller than the other.
You've noticed how all the buildings are on this piece of high ground. This inner ditch surrounds them, and it's lined with concrete.
But even filled with water, this is no barrier. It's not big enough.
Why, if the ants get this far, they'll
get no farther. This ditch wasn't built for water, Commissioner. See the pipes leading into it? See those storage tanks on the hill? Petrol. We can throw up a wall of flame. You care to bet they won't like that?
Leinenson, look! Over the edge of the jungle, all those animals.
Running like the wind. Everything from jaguars to monkeys.
Good heavens.
Remember, they don't have any ditches.
And there's no escape.
They'll be all right as long as they don't get caught between the river and the ants. They can outrun the crawlers. But if they get trapped, it's either the ants or the crocodiles.
Oh.
Look. Look over there on the horizon.
There are your ants. Look at them. It was a sight I'll never forget. Over the range of hills, as far as I could see, crept a darkening hem, ever longer and broader, until the shadows spread across the entire slope and then downward. Downward, uncannily swift. And all the green herbage on the entire slope was being mown as by a giant sickle, leaving only the vast moving shadow extending, deepening, and always moving nearer.
Oh, they're a hideous lot.
Leinenson, we can't last against that. Look at them. Why, they could fill your ditches with their corpses and still have enough to destroy every one of us. We've got to run.
Well, No, they haven't reached us yet, and they never will.
The hostile army was approaching in perfect formation. No human battalions, however well drilled, could ever hope to rival the precision of that advance. Along a front that moved forward as uniformly as a straight line, the ants drew nearer and nearer to the water ditch. As they approached, two outlying wings of the army detached themselves from the main body and started marching along the sides of the ditch, no doubt expecting at some point to find a crossing. And during this hour-long flanking movement, the main army remained still. Across the scant 12 feet of ditch, I stared at them. And they stared back at me. A solid mass, every one as big as my thumb, with a reddish-black body and long legs. Suddenly, a sound so unearthly as to freeze our blood jerked our heads in the direction of the jungle on the far side of the ditch. Coming toward the ditch at a stumbling gallop was a singular being, a writhing, animal-like, blackened statue, with a shapeless head and four quivering feet. It was a stag, covered over and over with ants. Leinenson threw up his rifle, and the stag fell lifeless to the ground, its agonies at men. Horrified as I was, my curiosity impelled me to glance at my watch. I had to know how long the ants would take. After 6 minutes, only the white, polished bones of the stag remained. Now I could see a change in Leinenson. Gone was the sporting zest of the novel contest. In its place was a cold, violent purpose to send these vermin back to the hell where they belong. If he did not, we were both only too sure of the alternative. And now we even knew how long it would take the ants once they got to us. Around 4 p.m, the ant scouts, having found no crossing, there was a stirring among the main army. And then, an immense flood of ants, about 100 yards in width, commenced pouring in a glimmering black cataract down the far slope into the water-filled ditch. Thousands drowned instantly, but the rest began using the bodies as bridges. Leinenson immediately swung into action.
Anayo!
Patron!
Get to the dam, open the floodgate more to get the water in the ditch moving faster.
Si, senor!
Oh, look at them drown by the thousands.
Yes, but they keep coming. Even though the current carries many of them away, they're advancing.
We'll fix them.
Blast!
Senor!
How about those shovels and petrol sprinklers? Have you passed them out to the men?
It has been done.
Then get all hands here in a hurry. This looks like the spot for action.
Commissioner.
Yes? Beginning to see what I was talking about?
What do you mean?
About intelligence being more than a match for anything it tackles. Take the ants. They've got no intelligence. If they had, they'd have attacked along the whole length of the ditch instead of a narrow front like this. They'd have been across by now. Too bad for them. I'm not running their campaign.
You can joke about it like that with the ass halfway across the ditch.
All right, men. Busy with the shovels now. Dump some sand and clods on them. See how they like that? And you with the petrol sprinkler, start pumping. They don't like it, Commissioner. They don't like it a bit. Look at them.
Yes, but look at the ones on the far side of the ditch. Whole clumps of them rolling into the water. The rest are using them for bridges.
What's keeping Tanea? You should be at the dam by now. They're getting across. More of them.
Oh, grab a shovel, Commissioner. Make him regret it.
What's the matter?
Get on my arm.
Into the petrol, idiot. Douse your paws in the petrol. Keep at it. Keep at it. You're lost if you stop now. The water's moving faster.
And I've got the floodgates open.
Yeah. Look at the ants. They can't hold their own against the current now. They're being washed away. Look at them, Commissioner. The water's carrying them away. We beat them. We've won out.
It was true. Leiningen had won. The opening round. The floodgates were left open to forestall any night crossing. When dawn came, the dark blanket was still there, motionless across the ditch. Then we noticed the feverish activity on the other side of the plantation. Here, a grove of tamarind trees lined the far end of the ditch, and every tree swarmed with a crawling insect. But instead of eating the leaves, they were merely gnawing through the stems, so that a thick green shower fell steadily to the ground.
Glass. Have all the petrol pumps brought. Get everyone over here except the lookouts on the other side, and pass out the shovels.
Si, senor.
Looks like I underestimated them when I said they didn't have intelligence.
What do you mean?
I said if they wanted to get across, they'd have to have rafts. And that's just what they've got. Those leaves are their rafts.
Even as he spoke, the leaves went tumbling down the far bank by the thousands. The current drew them away from the bank, and each leaf was crawling with ants.
Don't worry, Commissioner. I've still got a trick up my sleeve.
Hey, the water!
This is drying up. Of course it's drying up. That's the plan. Those are the orders I sent to the dam.
Are you mad? As soon as it's empty, what's to prevent the ants from... Look. Look, the water's way down. It's almost dry.
They'll be able to come across the bottom. They'll not make it if the man at the dam carries out his orders. He should have opened the gates again by now.
To flood the ants?
Right.
What a chance to take if anything should happen. Don't you...
Here it comes. Here comes the water. Now we'll get the crawlers in the ditch a good ride. Out into the river. There. Look at them go.
Leiningen's tactics were successful. At first, the violent flow of water at the original depth raced through the ditch, overwhelming leaves and ants and sweeping them along. Three times the ditch was empty. Three times the ants raced across its bottom. And three times the rushing water, arriving just in time, carried them away. But the fourth time, the level dropped nearly to the bottom of the ditch. We waited in vain for the rushing waters, and then...
Senor! Senor!
What's the matter? What's gone wrong at the dam?
The ants! The ants, senor! Just as the man at the dam lowered the water almost to the bottom, the ants attacked. Before he could open the floodgates, he was almost surrounded. He ran. The ants kept coming. They are across the ditch, senor.
Leiningen stood, motionless, absorbing the news of his defeat without a word. Then, simply, he raised his pistol and fired three shots into the air. A prearranged signal for all men to retreat, instantly to the second line of defense. The concrete ditch was more than a mile from the point of invasion. Soon after we arrived there, the natives commenced straggling in, silently. Leiningen waited until all of them had gathered. Then he spoke.
Well, lads, we won the first round and lost the second, but we'll smash the crawlers yet. Anyone who thinks otherwise can draw his pay and push off. There are rafts enough on the river and plenty of time still to reach them. You stay then? Good. Thank you, lads. And you, Commissioner?
I can't persuade you to go up the fight, huh?
You cannot.
Then I stay too.
I knew you wouldn't.
Senor, a few of the ants have reached the ditch.
They're trying to get across?
No.
I didn't think they would. There's plenty of food over there for them. My fields, my orchards, my work of 3 years. Ought to last them until morning anyway.
we were safe for the moment. But the next morning, the black swarm was solid around us. Their shock troops were hard at work. They were dropping shreds of bark and twigs and leaves into the petrol-filled ditches, forming a floating bridge across the surface of the liquid. Leinenschen stood silently watching this operation, and I could see a grudging admiration in his face. Then, after several hours, the attack came. Down the ditch they poured, millions of them, and across the bridge of twigs, rapidly approached the inner side. Leinenschen sat motionless, watching them. Leinenschen, for the love of God, don't sit there like a statue. They'll be on us in a moment.
Let them fill the ditch first. Now, all right, everyone back from the ditch. Blast, hand me the torch. Now we'll see how our friends like a little heat around them.
Flames from the ditch shot into the air, devouring ants by the million. It was some time before the petrol burned down to the bed of the ditch. And when it did, the devils came back for more. Again and again, Leiningen fired the ditch to destroy them. But as they returned to the assault time after time, a slow, sickening horror crept into my mind. I looked quickly at Leiningen and then at the petrol tanks. He read my gaze, nodded slowly.
That's right, Commissioner. We could hold them up forever if our supply of petrol was unlimited, but it isn't. We've only got enough to fill the ditch once more.
Leinenschen, isn't there a way? Any way at all?
There must be. Yes, there must be a way.
Yes.
Yes, yes!
What is it?
We'll flood the whole plantation.
Flood? But how?
The river's higher than any point except this high ground we're on now. If the river was dammed all the way, it'd overflow that stone breakwater and flood the whole plantation. We've got to close the floodgate at the dam. That'll do it.
You're mad. The dam is more than a mile away, a mile of ants. It's impossible. You'll never get there, let alone get back.
That's where you're wrong, Commissioner. I'll get there and I'll get back. Ha, ha. Take care of things while I'm gone, eh?
I watched him as he calmly pulled on high leather boots, drew gauntlets over his hands and stuffed the spaces between breeches and boots, gauntlets and arms, with petrol-soaked rags. He shielded his eyes with close-fitting mosquito goggles and plugged his nostrils and ears with cotton. Then the natives wrenched his clothes with petrol. Bloss, who acted as doctor to the men, smeared a salve over him. And finally, Leinenschen was ready. And he stood surveying the course he must take to the dam. I sensed a sudden calm.
As I stood near the ditch ready for the run, I realized this was as it should be.
I, Leinenschen, would meet the ants and defeat them. I'll be defeated by them. Leinenschen versus the ants. Yes, it was right that it should be like this. Now there was no more time for thought, only action. I took a deep breath and then bounded across the ditch and among the ants. I ran in long, equal strides with one thought, one sensation in my being. I must get through. I dodged all trees and shrubs. Except for the split seconds my soles touched the ground, the ants would have no opportunity to light on me. I ran on. I was halfway to the dam before I felt ants under my clothes and a few on my face. I struck at them mechanically, scarcely conscious of their bite. The dam drew toward me slowly. The distance grew less. Less. Finally, only 100 yards away. 50. Then I was there. I gripped the ant-covered wheel. But hardly had I seized it when a horde of ants flowed over my hands and arms. I strained. Slowly the wheel turned more. Floodgate was swinging, slowly shut. And then it was shut. And the water was rising behind the breakwater, closer to the top. Closer. Then it was spilling over. The flooding of the plantation had begun. I let go of the wheel. Started back through the ants. The first time I realized I was coated from head to foot with the fumes. Tongues of fire stabbed me as they bit into my flesh. I almost lost my head with the pain as I ran, knocking ants from my body, brushing them from my bloody face, and then one bit me just below the rim of my goggles. Managed to tear it away. The agony of the bite and its venom drilled into the eye nerves. I saw an house which circled the fire into a milky mist. I was almost blinded, but I knew that if I tripped and fell, I ran on, my heart pounding as if it would burst, blood roaring in my ears, a giant's fist battering my lungs. Then I could see dimly that wall of flame at the ditch. But it was too far away. I couldn't last half that distance. I stumbled. I fell. I felt myself being swarmed over, devoured. I tried to rise. A great weight. And suddenly the vision of the half-devoured stag in my brain. 6 minutes, then nothing but bones. I couldn't let that happen to me. I couldn't die like that. To my feet. My feet. I dragged myself forward. Toward the flame. The ditch. Ring of flame. Closer now. Only a little farther. 10 steps. 8. 5.
It seemed we had waited for hours, when all at once, through the blazing ring around us, an apparition hurtled and fell full length on the ground. It was Leiningen, alive with ants, unconscious with glazing eyes and lacerated face. We rushed to him, stripped off his clothes, and tore at the ants that covered him. His body seemed almost one open wound. In one place, I could see a white bone. Later, as the curtain of flame lowered, I looked out where that blanket of ants had been and saw only a vast expanse of water covering the entire plantation, working its way to within a few feet of the concrete ditch. The ants were gone, drowned, and Leiningen had won. He lay on his bed, his body swathed from head to foot with bandages, but alive and still in command.
Everything in order?
Everything's in order.
I told you I'd come back. Even if I am a bit streamlined.
He grinned, shut his eyes. He slept.
Escape was directed this week by Richard Sandville, and tonight brought you Leiningen versus the Ants by Carl Stevenson, adapted for radio by Robert Reif, with Tudor Owen as Leiningen and Gerald Moore as the Commissioner. Music conducted by Wilbur Hatch.
Next week, when you're tired out from doing nothing all weekend, when Blue Monday stares you in the face, next week at this time when your problems seem just too much for you, we offer you Escape.
Next week, we bring you another exciting story by one of the world's great authors. Good night, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Congratulations to your ginger crew of crybabies, fish. Welcome back to Ricky Jin's All-Time Radio. Now enjoy this episode of Gunsmoke, entitled The Kentucky Tollmans.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Jim Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Report's finished, Mr. Dillon.
Good. You better go on home now, Chester. It's getting late.
Yes, sir. Oh, what about these new Dodgers?
I'll just leave them there. I'll look them over.
What's the matter, Mr. Dillon?
Well, you got company at the back door.
Yeah.
All right, come in, mister. In, I said.
Get your paws off of me.
What? A girl?
Sure I'm a girl. What do you think I am?
I'll put that long rifle away and I'll tell you. Where'd you get that thing, anyway?
Pappy brought it with him from Kentucky, if it's any of your business, which it ain't by a darn sight.
Uh-huh. What you doing hanging around in the alley?
Get rid of him there and we'll jaw about it.
Huh? I see. Chester. Good night.
Hmm? Well, but I'm not going to... Yes, sir. Good night, Mr. Dillon. My gracious.
You Marshall here?
That's right, miss.
My name's Hannah. Hannah Tolman. You arrest folks, don't you?
Well, if they've committed a crime, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, then I got somebody for you to arrest.
Who?
Pappy.
Why?
Because I said to, that's why. Somebody's been trying to kill him. I figure about the safest place for him is in jail.
Wait a minute, slow down. Let's start at the beginning, huh?
A few days ago, Pappy was bushwhacked up in the hills near our place.
Oh? Was he hurt?
No. Slug just bounced off in his head a little. Yesterday, the bushwhacker tried again. He missed.
Sounds like a bad shot.
Sure. But if he keeps trying, he may get lucky. So you put Pappy in jail until I can run down this ambushing gent, okay?
You plan to cross guns with him yourself?
I may be a girl, but I was barking squirrels while you were still trying to dent a tin can.
Well, you better let me take care of it, miss. And as for your father, I can't jail him without a charge.
Sure, I know that. What kind of a charge do you want?
Well, what kind do you have?
Well, most any, I reckon. Ain't it enough that he's drunk all the time?
Well, I can hold him overnight on that.
What if he shoots up the town?
That's 5 days for disturbing the peace.
That'll do.
Where did he do this shooting?
We ain't. Yet. He's down at the Alfaganza slopping up booze with that other old buzzard Jingle Bob.
Oh, the swamper?
Yeah, that's the one. You'd best be somewheres around the saloon in a few minutes. I got a feeling Pappy's about due to bust the law again.
Her story didn't make much sense, but there was something about the mountain girl's gleaming black eyes and the set of her pretty but stubborn face that made me go to the Alfaganza. At the bar, I ordered a glass of rye and watched two bewhiskered old-timers trying to outlie each other over a rapidly emptying bottle.
Yes, Jingle Bob. You just wait and see. Ed Tolman's gonna have the biggest darn horse ranch in Kansas come spring.
Sure you are, absolutely. And me, why, I reckon I'll just buy up this here saloon.
Oh, you're lying.
Well, sure I am. Ain't you?
What's my money was spending, ain't it? How many times I gotta tell you, I'm getting rich.
Pappy, are you drunk?
If I ain't, I've been wasting a sight of time. Now leave me alone, daughter. Go home where you belong.
I'm going. Only come over to tell you, man bet me $10 you couldn't shoot out that lamp on the first shot.
What's that? Oh, give me that rifle.
All right, hold on. That's enough of that.
Stay back, son.
What?
Now, go collect your $10, daughter.
Yeah, Pappy. But I think the marshal here's a-fixin' to arrest you.
Huh?
Ain't you, Marshal?
Yeah, I guess I am. All right, come along, Jim. Come on.
Why, get your hands off me. Why, I never... You jailing a man for having a little fun. Why, you'd never get away with this back in Kentucky.
Jed, you're in trouble, aren't you? Who's trying to kill you?
No, I reckon that's my business.
Now, that's the law's business.
I'll take care of myself, Marshal.
Uh-huh. Back in the saloon there, you mentioned having money and getting more.
So?
From what I've heard, you and your daughter run a two-bit horse ranch up in the hills. That hardly figures to make you rich.
So?
Ah, you thick-headed old... Look, all I'm doing is trying to save your skin if it's in danger. Now, why don't you help me instead of being...
Reckon I don't wanna.
Well, that's plain enough. Morning, Chester.
Morning, Mr. Dillon. You better take a look at this new Dodger.
Huh? Wanted for robbery and murder? Vic Tolman. So that murderous gun hawk is loose again, huh?
Broke out of prison last week.
Yeah.
If he's kin to Jed Tolman, he'll like to be heading this way.
Yeah, likely. I'll give you a hunch, Chester. I think he's here already.
You do? You know where he is?
No, not exactly. But I expect Hannah Tolman may have an idea. That's where I'm heading.
Now, that's what I like to see. A man-sized appetite.
This wonderful corn pone.
I'm a good cook. Been cooking for Pappy ever since Ma died 10 years ago.
Huh? You take pretty good care of him.
Somebody has to. Pappy's kind of shiftless. Reckon he'd starve if I didn't feed him. Only things he cares about are wild horses and booze. And in a pinch, he'd give up horses.
You know, you're quite a woman, Hannah. You're pretty, brave, and with more courage than most men I know.
Too quick, Marshal.
What?
You're sweetening me up for some reason. Not that I mind, you understand. I'm partial to a strapping fella like you. And Pappy's always after me to get hitched up. Says it ain't fitting for me to be 22 without a man.
Oh, you're still young.
Not the mountain folk. I'm no old maid. And I'm agreeable for some sweet talk. Only I don't trust yours. What are you after, Marshal?
All right, Hannah. I only want the truth.
About what?
Where's your father getting this money he's spending?
I wish I knew.
Who shot at him?
I don't know, but I'm aiming to find out.
Where's Vic? Where's he hiding, Hannah?
Who?
Vic Tolman, your brother. Or maybe he's your cousin.
Brother.
Where?
I don't know.
Hannah, be sensible. Vic's a murderer.
Vic's my kin. We Tolmans don't turn on each other.
If you shelter him, you're guilty of...
Marshal, I reckon you just wore out your welcome.
That prisoner will stand up and face me. Jed Tolman, you've been found guilty of disturbing the peace. Sentence of this court is 5 days in jail or $100.
$100? Well, Judge, ain't that a mite steep just for...
$100 or 5 days.
I ain't got that much on me. But I can get it if you let me go.
Just a minute.
Order in the court. Now, what's the meaning of this interruption?
I want to pay this man's fine, Your Honor.
That's your privilege, sir. $100. Pay the clerk.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Dick Curry. Somebody's been turning over rocks.
Well, I don't know him, but he's sure a friend. Looks like I ain't going with you, Marshal.
Yeah, looks like. But in your boots, I wouldn't be happy. Curry's one of the worst killers yet unhung.
Oh, Matt, is that a way to talk about me? I'm clear with the law. Come on, Mr. Tolman.
Go ahead, Jed. And say hello to Vic for me.
Vic? Oh, no. Mr. Curry. Is that true?
Well, what's the difference who put up the 100? Come on.
No. No, not even it's Vic. No, you can't make me.
I said come on.
Marshal, don't let him take me.
Oh, shut up and come on before
Curry.
I...
Curry.
Hmm? Stay out of this, Marshal.
I don't think so. You paid his fine. You didn't buy him.
He's going with me, Matt. Don't try to stop me.
I can't imagine anything that'd give me more pleasure.
You don't like living, do you?
Very much. Now, just any time you feel like it.
No. Not here, Matt. I'll pick my spot.
Yeah. I'll try not to turn my back on any dark alleys.
Do that. And Tolman, I'll be seeing you again.
We'll return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, strength against aggression calls for guns, tanks, planes, and explosives in tremendous quantity. It calls for other things, too. Moral strength, based on equality of opportunity for all, and economic strength, which today can be based only on continued high output of civilian goods. America must produce, as she never has before, war material, civilian goods, and democracy. Only an all-out effort in all three directions will give us security against aggression. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Start, Marshal? Why don't we play while we wait?
No thanks, Jingle Bob. You needn't wait with us.
Jed, my friend, Mr. Dillon.
Sure.
Maybe I can't help him none, but at least I can share whatever the trouble is. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jed here is a lying old ringtail drunk, but me... Well, when a man is down to... scrubbing saloon floors just to get the liquor that'll keep his nerves from shaking apart. He's grateful for any friendship that's offered.
Don't move. Curry, get his gun.
Sure thing.
You recognize me, Marshal?
Yeah, that's how it.
Yeah. Vic Tolman. There are Dodgers out on you.
You're a cool one, Dillon. Too bad we're on opposite sides of the fence.
Yeah, it's too bad. Real pity. You know, I'm going to enjoy this job.
What job?
Well, don't you know? Vic's taking his paw away from you. But you won't mind. You'll be dead.
Curry, you stick here and take care of these two. Jed and I'll go on ahead.
Oh, son, I don't want to go nowhere.
Now, Pa, don't rile me. You're going with me.
None of you are going any place, Vic.
Check.
What the window?
Reach high, both of you, and let go of that hardware.
Now, you better do as he says. Because Chester's a little nervous with that shotgun.
As mine.
Looks like the odds are with you, so...
You might as well get rid of that spare in your boot, Vic, before you run into any temptations.
You got sharp eyes, Marshal. Law gets a lot of backing up tonight.
Your mistake, Vic. Sometimes people just don't give Chester enough credit.
chow time.
Hmm. Beefsteak, fried potatoes, stewed corn. Marshal, I must say, you run a nice jail, don't he, Kerr? Don't mind Kerr. He's a little depressed about last night. You still run a nice jail. Something on your mind, Marshal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of things.
Such as?
Oh, such as your father spending money he hasn't earned, claiming to know where he can get more.
Mm-hmm. Paul's sure a terrible liar.
Mm-hmm. Such as him getting shot at twice and refusing to talk about it. Or help me investigate.
Paul's a little bashful, too.
Yeah. Such as his being afraid of you.
Hmm. I guess Paul's getting old, little doddery.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's you.
Well, now you're on my favorite subject. Go on.
Well, you're a killer and a thief. But you're cool and smart. Smart enough to educate yourself.
I had lots of time to read in the pen. Lots of time.
You're going to have more. But not much more. Because you're going to hang for those guards that you killed.
Maybe. Curry, ain't you going to eat that?
Mm-mm.
Now, go on about me being smart.
You're smart enough to know the most dangerous place for you to go after you escaped was here.
Well, it looks like I ain't as smart as you think.
It depends on what reason you had for risking coming here.
Boy, that's your good coffee. First jail I was ever in where the coffee was fit to drink.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Marshal. Now, just what was my reason?
The reason was money.
Money?
Cash. It's the only thing that'll give you a chance to get out of the country. You're in for robbery as well as murder. How much of the loot was recovered?
You know how it is, Marshal. Easy come, easy go. I spent it as fast, well, nearly as fast as I got it.
So nothing was recovered, huh?
No, it was all gone.
It was all hidden, you mean? Hidden until Jed found it.
Paul?
Sure, that's his source of money. It's also why he was afraid to go with you.
Like I said, too bad we're on opposite sides. You got brains and you use them.
You want to fill in the details for me?
I'll tell you this. You're right about my cash and money. I'd had it and be on my way to Mexico by now if Paul hadn't switched hiding places on me. You know, it hurts. Paul's turning against me.
Yeah, yeah. The Tolmans always stick together. Except when money's involved.
How about you, Martin? Money by you? Sky's the limit.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll figure it out. Well, been a nice chat. Won't take you straight. Hurry, give me a hand.
All right, back up, Curry. That's it. And tell Vic when he wakes up to take it easy. Or he won't live to be hung. Hey, Jingle Bob.
Yeah.
You seen Jed?
Oh, sorry, Marshal. I don't know where Jed is. Been looking for him myself. Golly, I'm cool.
He must have left town last night.
Yeah. Ain't you cool?
I got an old jacket you can have.
I'd rather have a shot. Better steal two shots.
You got the jumps?
Always got them, except when I'm full of booze. Funny, you won't believe it, but there was a time when I couldn't stand the taste of hard liquor. Made me sick. No, can't live without it.
Yes, you can.
Maybe. Let's say I don't want to.
Let's say that... Here.
Huh?
Go buy yourself a drink.
Hey, that's enough for a whole bottle. Well, we change. See you later, Marshal.
Supper time, Chester. Chester, you all right?
The prisoners?
Gone. Hannah Tolman slipped them a gun. They made me open up the cell, and Vic slugged me.
Well, I know where they'll go.
Please, Mr. Dillon, take me along. It was my fault they escaped.
All right, Chester. Ask Doc to put a quick patch on that head, and we'll go after them together.
Starting to get dark.
Yeah.
Why'd we leave the road back there?
I wanted to reach that rise, Chester.
But we circled around to come up the back side. Does that have something to do with you bringing binoculars?
Yeah, it does. Vic Tolman will know he'll be followed. I want to see what kind of a surprise he has for us. All right, pull up. You wait here.
See anything?
No. Not yet. Now, wait. I knew now. Yeah, it's Curry, all right. He's holed up in some brush just beyond the turn in the road down there.
Well, what do we do, Mr. Dillon?
Take the horses and circle back the way we came. Start up the road, but don't make the turn.
I understand.
Now, be sure. As long as you don't make the turn, you'll be safe. But, I do want you to make some noise.
Noise?
Yeah, I want you to sing, whistle, throw rocks, anything. Just so long as it holds Curry's attention. It was slow work, crawling down through the brush, but finally I was only 10 feet behind Curry's position. The gunman was holding a rifle trained on the turn. And out of sight, coming up the road, I could hear Chester. Well, he wasn't good, but he was loud.
Come on around that turn, blast you.
All right, don't turn around, Curry.
What?
You may have a point, but I like Chester, bad singing and all. Now lay the rifle aside and unbuckle your gun belt. Now, careful.
Yeah, sure, sure. Only don't shoot.
Okay. Chester! Chester!
I didn't mean no harm. I was only going to scare him.
Yeah. Now, where's Vic?
At the Tolman house. Waiting for Jed to show up.
Uh-huh. All right, put your hands behind your back. I'm going to tie you up and leave you here.
What? Leave me here?
Yeah, we'll pick you up on the way back to town. It was dark when Chester and I were moving through the trees up to the Tolman shack. There was a light in the front, and through a window we could see the figure of Hannah Tolman moving around.
Just a girl.
Yeah, Vic's there. He's just staying out of sight so Jed won't be scared off. Uh-oh.
She's coming out, heading this way.
And there must be a well out here. She's carrying a bucket. Yeah, behind that tree, quick, and I'll take this one.
What do you think you're...
All right, now quiet down. We're not going to hurt you. Stop fighting. Chester, grab her legs, quick.
Yes, sir.
I was saving these handcuffs for Vic, but I guess they'll do for you. There. Now, do you promise to be quiet, or do we gag you? All right, have it your way. Chester, give me your bandana.
Yes, sir.
Here.
There, that should do it. All right, stay with her, Chester. I'm going for Vic. I was halfway to the shack when inside Vic Tolman became suspicious. Suddenly the lights went up, and the door opened, and the shadowy figure slipped out to stand, listening.
Anna? Anna, answer me.
Drop him, Vic.
Who is that? I can't see.
Matt Dillon. Throw down those guns. You're under arrest.
Not this time.
Vic.
You were right, Marshal. I ain't gonna live to hang.
Vic.
Mr. Dillon, over here.
Hey, what is it, Chester? Who's that, Jed?
Yes, sir.
I caught him sneaking towards the house. He was carrying this bag.
Here, let me see. That's the money.
I was taking it to Vic. Is he...
Yeah. You're too late, Jed.
Oh, no. I'd have given him his money. If only he hadn't taken them shots at me.
He didn't. Until he found out where the money was hidden, he was the last person in the world to want you dead.
But, I don't understand. He must
have... No. Only the person who knew where you had the money would have shot at you.
Nobody knew that. How could they?
Who could... talk a lot when you get drunk, Jed. You only get drunk with one person.
Huh? You mean Jingle Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. I was bragging. Told him all about finding it and switching hiding places. Well, that low-down snake... and him pretending to be my friend.
Come on, Jed. I'll help you bury Vic. Then we'll get back to Dodge.
We Tolman sure have had a bad week.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Herb Purdom, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Joseph Kearns, and Junius Matthews, with Harry Bartell, Lou Krugman, and Peter Leeds. Parley Bear is Chester. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Remember, America must produce as she never has before. She must produce war materials, civilian goods, and above all, democracy. Only an all-out effort in all three directions will give us security against aggression. George Walsh speaking, and remember, Gangbusters goes into action Saturday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAB.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.